Christ never changes. Everything around us can change, but Jesus Christ will never change. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1, it says, "Let brotherly love continue." Boy, do we need that today. We need to make sure that we are caring and loving for our brothers and sisters, for families in need. I keep saying this, and I mean this. If you hear of somebody that has a need, please let us know. We'll try to help. We'll try to do whatever we can. If they need food, if they need help with something, we'll try to do that. But our brotherly love needs to continue, even maybe more now than it, I hate to say it, but sometimes a tragedy like this brings people closer together. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. There's a lot of people today suffering adversity. There's a lot of people today suffering and going through this thing. We as Americans are going through it together. We as a church are going through this together. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I wish everybody would get a hold of that one. We have the panic hoarders, the panic buyers that are running through the stores. I had to go to Walmart yesterday to get my blood pressure medicine. I ran out, and I kind of want to make sure that I keep taking that. And, I mean, again, people were just going through. A lot of the shelves were emptied yesterday. The meats, the cheese, the milk, the eggs, all of those things were practically gone yesterday. The paper products, of course, are, you know, pretty much wiped out. You go to different stores, you can find different things. But, you know, for the most part, did you have a... Yes, plus, Chris is still... Your chickens don't have coronavirus, right? They're still producing eggs? Okay, good. So we'll have some eggs. I had to go and run into Aldi's yesterday, and they're allowing 2 dozen. So I grabbed 2 dozen in Aldi's just to have. And every time I go to Aldi's, I get a thing of butter. You can never have too much butter.
Amen.
Never.
Amen.
So I got extra butter. I'm hoarding on butter. That's just me. I love butter. But and again, if you need eggs, you know, we've got some bird outlets, all right? So we can do that. But we do. We need to be careful of that coveting. We need to be careful. We just need to be content with what we have. Verse 6, I need to get into this, so I'm done by 10:30. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I don't think we ought to be fearing anything right now. I think we ought to be just trusting God. I've said this and I mean this. I don't have a fear. I don't have a worry. I'm at complete peace through this thing. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. There's a lot of that going around today, too. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Father, bless the message, please. I pray that you just move me out of the way. And we pray, Lord, today that the words that are said would come from you. I pray, Father, that you would hide me behind the cross. I pray that you would get all the honor and all the glory. Lord, we do pray for this time that we're in. It is a time of uncertainty. It is a time in which so many people have so many questions and very few answers. Father, I pray for the other good Bible-believing churches that are having services today. Many are not. Many are live streaming. Lord, thank you for the technology that we have. If it wasn't for you and these, I don't understand the television waves, microwaves, radio waves. I don't understand all of that. Lord, but you invented that many, many years ago. Lord, you created that. And Lord, it's what a time that we can be utilizing such things. But Lord, be with those churches that are having services, pastors that are preaching right now or shortly. Lord, many Christians don't know what to do in this day and age. Please be with us. Give us wisdom. Give us strength. Give us, Lord, you've never given us the spirit of fear. So Lord, please be with us and bless us. Bless the message again in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to focus on verse 8, of course, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. In this extremely changing world that we are all living in, we're living in a changing world that changes by the minute. You can watch a newscast now, and by the end of the day, it could be completely different. But the Bible does tell us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The Lord still cares for us during this time. He still loves us. He hasn't diminished his love. He hasn't diminished his care. He hasn't thrown us out the window. As I said before, and you're hearing this, this coronavirus did not come about as a surprise to God. He understands it. I have a theory about it. And listen, I am not a conspiracy nut. I mean, there are people running around saying that China and North Korea got together in Russia and they've decided to do this to bring the United States down. You know what? That could be. I don't know. I don't get into that. I try to stay with facts. You know what I'm saying? But I do believe that the devil is behind this. Because when you read the Bible and you study the Bible, you look at Job and you look at what Jesus said about that woman that was bound with an infirmity from Satan himself. Satan has the ability to throw out diseases upon people. And I know that Chris has said that this coronavirus has been around in animals for quite some time, but it's never been in humans before. And what has the devil done to this world right now during the coronavirus? He has literally stifled the entire world. There are churches closed this morning without the ability to do live streaming, and people are not going to the house of God because of this. I think he's kind of getting what he wants. And people are more focused on the government, and am I getting a check in a few weeks? I mean, what do I do about travel? People are so focused and just enamored with all of that instead of the Lord. Instead of God. It's to me that it's like the devil has just thrown this out at this world and this country to bring us, to try to destroy us and ruin us. And I don't know. That's my thought on the whole thing. But we see things are changing all the time. Medical and science is changing constantly, daily and hourly. We see, crazy things going on with this coronavirus pandemic. We in our lifetime have never experienced anything like this, never. Amen. We've gone through natural disasters, but we have never experienced anything like this. The world, the closest that it gets is 100 years ago during the Spanish flu in 1918 and 1919. It came close to that, but we've never, in our lifetime, we have never experienced anything even close to this. Our president is giving daily briefings, and the headlines are fluid. They're changing all the time. Our governor is daily changing requirements for New York State, California, New Jersey, Washington, Oregon. They all have, you know, travel bans put in place. And it's getting worse and worse until we see this thing under control. People are panicking all over the world because of this. And so things are changing constantly. The economy is going to end up in the tanks if something's not done soon. Seriously, if this thing goes beyond 2-3 weeks, we could see something they're saying worse than the depression back in the 30s. It could be worse. People are out of work. Many are already being laid off. Places are closing. People are losing money. Small businesses are going to hurt. A lot of big businesses are going to hurt. People are going to hurt through this thing. And I'm praying that God will intervene in this thing and get this thing taken care of soon. Rapidly. But the economy is changing on a day-to-day basis. Stockholders and businesses and workers and families are losing assets and income. Many businesses, again, are closing temporarily, and restaurants and malls and stores and factories. It's something we've never seen before. Our churches are closing. Our churches, we've had to cancel Sunday school and junior church. We've had to cancel the covert Bible study. We've canceled everything outside from our church or anything in extra. Churches are doing that all over the country and all over the world for that matter. And again, we need to be thankful for technology. People can still see us and hear us. And many churches are broadcasting live streaming this morning. Schools and colleges are closed until further notice. Things are changing rapidly. Education has been changing in the last 50 to 60 years when we went to school. Gum chewing was a big deal. They caught you chewing gum, boy, you were down to the principal's office right now. And I've told you this before. I dropped the pencil off from my desk, and I reached over my desk to pick it up one time, and the teacher came over and said, "Show me that again." And so I did it, and she spanked me in front of 30, 40 kids. I mean, that was a big deal to her, dropping your pencil on the floor. I had to get a spanking for that in front of everybody. Try that today. She'd be arrested for the rest of her. She'd be in prison for the rest of her life. Talking in class, running into halls, getting out of line, leaning over, like I said, leaning over your desk. But now it's rape, murder. Teachers and students being assaulted in schools and in classrooms, gang wars, drugs, alcohol. Drugs were just starting to come in my time during the 60s and 70s. Students bringing guns. Listen, you know we used to bring guns to school when I was in school? Didn't you? Some of us older ones. Us seniors in our trucks or in our pickups, we'd have our guns hanging there on the rack. And we'd bring them in, unloaded, of course, but we'd show our shop teacher, or they would encourage us, bring them in, we'll work on them, we'll, you know. That was back then. You can't do that. You can't get within 500 feet of a school with a firearm, or you will be arrested. Things have changed, folks. Things are changing rapidly all the time. Cyber harassment, cyber bullying now. We have kids committing suicide because of a smartphone, because of bullying over the internet. It's crazy. Why is that? I'll tell you why. The Bible is out of our schools. Prayer is out. Thank God the president is trying to get prayer back in their schools. Thank God for that. What a blessing. But the Bible is out of our schools, and prayer has gone from our schools, and the Ten Commandments are out of our schools. And when God is removed, wickedness takes over. There's a void. There's a spiritual void there. And when that happens, wickedness and evil takes the place of the good that was there. We have cars today and radios and televisions changing. I haven't seen an old-fashioned TV in a long time. Now they're all flat screens, big things, little things. It's incredible. Cell phones are changing. Technology is changing all the time. Computers and even clothing fashions change constantly. Nature changes. We do have climate change, by the way, but not like what the liberals are trying to tell us. We've had a climate change from Friday to yesterday, 70 to 30s. To me, that's climate change. I was freezing yesterday. The day before, I was out walking, did my 2-mile walk and enjoyed it and loved it. Yesterday, not me. I got to be in where it's warm. Nations change, rulers change, presidents change, maps change, families change, kids grow up, marriage, divorce, death, friends. Boy, we're living in a changing world. Thank God we serve somebody who never changes. Amen. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. Let me give you some things about the Lord that never changes. This is one of those messages that try to just encourage a little bit, to try to help a little bit. And Christ never changes. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord," and then he says, "I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." Thank God for that. Because when he made his covenants, when he's made all of his covenants, all of his promises, he has kept every promise that he has ever made. That's what God does. The Lord always keeps his promises. James chapter 1, verse 17. I've got a lot of scriptures, so I'm going to read them. If you can get there, fine. If not, write them down and look them up later, or just listen. James 1:17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." That simply means that God is always the same. I can trust him today as I trusted him yesterday. And you know what? We'll be able to trust God tomorrow the same as we're trusting him today. We'll be able to trust him next week, next year. If things get worse, we'll still be able to trust God. When you get a minute, make sure that you read the back of your bulletin. That was so timely. I get these bulletins months in advance, and I just pull them out every single week as they're in order. And on the back of the bulletin today talks about victories in the valley. We are in a valley. We're in a deep valley, and yet we can still, don't read them now, please. Read them later. We are in a valley, but we can still have victory within the valley. Revelation 1:8, Jesus said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." God is still on his throne, folks. He has not got up, left. He's not ignored us. He's not concerned about, he's still concerned about us. What are some of the things? I have 5 things written down. I hope I get to them. If not, I don't know what to tell you, but I'll try to get through them as quickly as I can. His character never changes. The character of Christ has never changed. The character of God has never changed. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter 2, 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. The character of Jesus Christ has never changed. When he was being beaten and nailed to the cross, and when he was hanging on the cross, his character never changed. Sometimes when we go through serious problems in our life, we go through valleys, you know, sometimes our character changes. Sometimes not for the better. Sometimes for the worse. When we go through serious trials and tribulations, that is a real test of our character. What is your character going to be like if you never get your job back? What is your character going to be like if we're running out of food? What is our character going to be like when we have no money to spend? I'm not saying that's going to happen, and I'm praying that that doesn't happen. I'm just saying, what is our character going to be like when we're going through the trials and the tribulations that we're going through? See, trials and tribulations are a real test of our character. Christ went through far more trials and tribulations and temptations than you and I have ever been through. His character never changed. It was always the same. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. Sometimes we're good. Sometimes we're not so good. Sometimes we're bad. Right? Sometimes we have some sinful thoughts. Sometimes we have some sinful actions. Sometimes we have some sinful words. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, he never changed. His character was always consistent every single day, all the time. Throughout his entire life on planet Earth, even though he was faced with so many different things, he was still always, he was the same all the time. You know, he's the same today. You can always count on him today. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Pilate even made that statement. You know what Pilate said? What did he say? I find no fault in him. He could not find anything wrong with Jesus Christ. Nothing. Could he do that with you or me? No. He would come back, oh, I got plenty on Terry Fenton. Enough to convict me probably. Amen. Same with you. Look at Hebrews 4:15. Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 15. For we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted or tested. Tempted, that word means tested. Tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. How can that verse say that? It's because his character has never changed. Boy, I wish I could say that about me. I wish you probably wish you could say that about you. But you have days where your character may be a little bit different than other times. You know that people have tried to destroy the Lord's character for the last 2,000 years? They have done everything that they could. They tried when he was here to destroy his character. They attempted. The Pharisees would walk around hiding behind a tree, hiding behind a bush, hiding in a field, just looking and waiting, hiding in the temple, just seeing what can we catch him with his words? Can we find something that he has done wrong? Can we ask him a question and get the wrong answer? I mean, they tried everything they could to destroy his character. Could they do that? No. They had to come up with false witnesses in order to go against him. And even they were they were false. They were blaspheming his name. His character was sinless. His character was stainless. His character was ideal for who God was. Again, the Pharisees and others were always trying to look to see, how can we destroy this man's character? How can we destroy this man? And so his character never changes. Number two, his compassion never changes. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, it says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Do you know when, during this whole thing, during this coronavirus pandemic, panic that we're in, do you know that the Lord still loves us? Do you know that He has not given His love up? Do you know that He is still loving? I love what Jeremiah 31:3 says, because I have loved thee with a what kind of a love? An everlasting love. Remember, Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. His love yesterday is the same as it is today, and it will be the same tomorrow. Amen. His love doesn't change. His love is not variable like your love and my love can sometimes be variable. It can sometimes change. His compassion never, never, ever changes. His love is a tremendous, great love. His love is is way beyond what we even think of what love is. I mean, we as humans, we have our own idea. We understand what the Bible says about love. But when it comes down to really understanding what love is, love is giving up your life for somebody. Love is giving up your life for your enemies, for those that hate you. And that's what Jesus Christ did. Not too many people will lay their life down for somebody that hates them and despises them. But Christ on the cross says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What an amazing love. His love is great. I mean, John 15:13, you know the verse, but greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. His love is a universal love. I don't believe there's a person in the world that Jesus Christ, God, doesn't love. Does he love all those Muslims that are totally against his word? Yeah, he loves them. He died for them. Didn't he die for them? He died for the Muslims, he died for the Chinese, he died for the Japanese, he died for everybody, he died for you and I. He didn't die just for Americans, please understand that. He died for everybody all over the world. His love was there and nailed to the cross, but that love never stopped. They killed him. Well, they didn't kill him, he laid his life down. We've got to rephrase that. They did not murder Christ, they did not kill him, he laid his life down voluntarily. Because he didn't have to die. Remember, he had untainted blood within him. He laid his life down. He gave up his life. And so his love is a universal love. His love is a pardoning love. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 14. Isaiah 1:14. What an amazing love he has. Isaiah chapter 1, look at verse 18. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. That's pardoning. That's a part of the pardoning right there. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That is a pardoning love. We all know 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a blessing to know that we have a God that loves us. A Savior that loves us, a Savior that loves the world, regardless of what's going on in this world. We as Christians need to be telling others about the love of God. Amen. This is a great opportunity to witness. Amen. I know we can't go out. I was talking to Brother Perkins, Stephen Perkins, this past week about soul winning and knocking doors, and that's their specialty. They go to a church, they go to an area, and that is their specialty. They'll be out for hours just knocking doors and trying to witness to people. And he said they can't do that right now. Who wants a stranger knocking at their door during this time? You just can't do things like that. I mean, there are other ways. You can give out tracts. I went to a restaurant the other night to pick up some food, and I gave the lady a tract. We can always be giving out tracts, gospel tracts. We have plenty of them by the door as you leave. Pick up some. Give them out to people. Try to be a light of hope to people during this dark, I call it muddy water time, but we can still be a light during this time. Not only does his character never change and his compassion never changes, but his capability never changes. Thirdly, his capability. What do you mean by that, preacher? I mean his power will never, ever change. He still has the same power. His power is an amazing power. Matthew chapter 28. Again, these are familiar verses, and this is just one of those messages to try to help and to try to give some some comfort, some direction, some guidance. I don't know, but I'm just trying to be a blessing here today. Matthew 28 and verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." You know, that power was the power that created this world. Spoke the worlds into being. Spoke the stars. How many stars are there? There's no number of the stars. Trillions and trillions and, you know, it's incredible how many stars there are and how big this planet and everything that we see around us. God created, He spoke the worlds into being in 6 literal days. 6 days. His power is amazing. He says in verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." I've been hearing a lot of that lately. Are we at the end of the world? The end of the world is coming. Oh, you know. And you know what? It could be close. We could be very close to the rapture. Very close to the rapture. Of course, we're a lot closer today than they were 2,000 years ago. So we are really close to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And He has that power to get us out of here. He has the power. Does He have the power to eliminate the coronavirus? Of course He does. He can heal. He can help. He can direct. He can guide. He can give us the wisdom that we need. His capability never, never changes. You know, you and I, some of us are getting older here. Well, we're all getting older, but some of us are really old. I'll say that about me. I'm not picking on anybody out here. We're getting older. And so we notice over the years that our power changes. I'm a little less sometimes active, even though Kathy's saying, "We just slow down a little bit." Well, you know, I notice that I'm a little slower than I used to be. And it takes me a little bit extra time to jump up instead of, you know. And so we lose some physical power over the years, don't we? We lose our muscle power. We do lose sometimes, you know, over time we lose our muscle mass. We lose brain power. I don't want to lose any more. I've lost enough down through the years. But we lose things. We're losing the power that we have. God never loses His power. The sun is slowly burning up, but the Son of God never loses His power. I mean, we ought to thank God for His capability never, ever changes. He has the power to save. Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." He has the power to save. He has the power to keep us saved. I am so thankful for that. I would have lost my salvation 5 seconds after I got saved. How about you? Aren't you glad? Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. 1 Peter 1:5. "I am so thankful and grateful that we believe in a salvation that lasts eternally. It's not something that comes and goes. I can't get reborn again and reborn again and reborn again. I'm born again once. I'm saved forever. I have eternal security." Thank God for that. 1 Peter 1:5. "Who are kept," well, let's read verse 4. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." I'm thankful that it's not my power that keeps me saved. It's the power of God. I don't have the power to keep me saved. Sometimes the only power I have is to sin sometimes. Think thoughts you shouldn't think. Say words or phrases that you shouldn't say. But God has the power to keep us saved. Praise the Lord. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. 2 Timothy 1:12. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." He has the power to take us to heaven someday. We, many of us, you know, Christians, we look at this and we say, wow, this could be it. The Lord could get us out of here and let the world do whatever it wants to do after that. And many of us, all of us hopefully in this room would go when that trumpet is blown and the angels are shouting and we leave, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, "For I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. He has the power to take us to heaven someday. Amen. And let me say this. He's right on schedule. He's right on schedule. You can't hurry him up. You can't delay his coming. You can't say, Lord, please just give me a little bit more time on planet Earth. You can't push him back. You can't hurry it up. When it's time, he's coming. Whether you're ready or whether you're not ready. I would hope and pray that everyone in this room is ready. The fourth thing that I want to share with you that never changes is his communication never changes. What do you mean by that? I mean his word never changes. I can still turn to this and get updated, just like when you turn on the news, you get updated, supposedly, news conferences and updated things that are going on. Well, when I open up the Bible, I get updated stuff from God. It's updated. It's update. It's completely for today. I know that the critics out there are saying, well, that's an old archaic Bible. You know, that old King James Bible, that's just an archaic thing. And you got to get that thing up to date. You got to get those old words out of there and get some of those new words in there. Get those old phrases, get those new phrases in there. This is just as up to date as anything else is out there. Matter of fact, I think it's better. Amen. It's better. It's the best. It's God's word. His word never changes. Right. Jesus is the same. Yesterday and today and forever. His word is the same yesterday and today and forever. Can you trust his word today? Yes, you can. If you trusted it yesterday or last week or last month or a year ago, you can trust it today and you'll be able to trust it in the future. His word, his communication never ever changes. In Psalm 119 verse 89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Man can change the word down here. Man could literally take the Bible and change it completely, but God still has a pure copy in heaven. And when we get there someday, we're going to see God's pure copy. I believe it's this one right in front of me. That's what I believe. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Stand forever. Forever. Fifth and finally, not only do we see all of these things that never changes, his character never changes, his compassion never changes, his capability never changes, his communication never changes, but finally, his cause for us never changes. He has the same cause for us. It's not changed from yesterday to today. That cause of Jesus Christ has never changed. We are still to be a living sacrifice, according to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Folks, just because we're living in a changing world, changing times, doesn't mean that his cause for you changes. First of all, he wants you saved. He wants you baptized. He wants you, you know, to be faithful as much as you can. He wants us to be living sacrifices. Just write down Romans 12. You know the verses 1 and 2. He still wants us to be witnesses and soul winners. Amen? Still wants you to pass out tracts when you have the opportunity. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He still wants you to be faithful in everything that you do. Moreover, in, according to 1 Corinthians 4, 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Amen. Now, I know that church attendance may be hindered at this time, and some other things may be hindered at this time. But can you still be faithful to the Lord even though we're going through a tragedy like this? Yes. Great. Yes, we can still be faithful. We can be still faithful to our Bible reading. We can still be faithful to our prayer life. You can still be faithful in your giving. You can still be faithful in your attendance as things go on, as we can. Still be faithful. His cause for you has not changed. Even though the governor is trying to tell us, the president is trying to tell us, and other people are trying to tell, healthcare providers are trying to tell us what to do. And I'm not against that. Okay, please understand. I'm not against that. I'm not a rebel against the government, like some people are saying they are. I still do believe in our Constitution and our First Amendment, but I also have respect for what they're trying to do to try to get this virus under control. We still can be faithful. The Lord never changes. His character never changes. Never changes. His compassion, His love, still the same. His capability, His power never changes. His communication, His word never changes. And His cause for you and I never changes. In a very changeable world, in a very changing society, please, let's remember we serve the one who never changes. Father, thank you again for being with us today. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the Word of God that we can turn to, that we can spend some time in. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for the people that came out this morning. What a blessing to see these people that still cared enough to come to church. Lord, we pray for those that couldn't come, and we know that